This is The Blueprint with Chris Phillips on Jazz FM. Listen in color.
Paso, yeah. Roll it, please.
Oye, ¿qué tienen?
Clicky,
clicky.
Okay.
¿Qué tienen?
It's like what?
What you have?
Sí.
Mira, oye.
Salsa cubana.
¿Qué tienen?
What is this? What is this? Oranges or what?
You ever go to Brazil?
Yes, tomorrow.
You like Brazil? You like Rio?
What else do you know?
You been to Bahia?
No,
solo ir para paso le que pretendas como aprende canosoto y prende calo pasa de lexa la paso le en prenda sora que más horas que en lo
Muchacho, indeed. That was the voice of Cleveland Watkiss and Nicky Yo, who's here with me at Jazz FM. And that was Tenemos un Mesaje. Nicky, welcome. It's so lovely to see you here at the Jazz House.
It's absolutely fantastic to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have a new album. It's a solo album. That was a duo thing from 2003. Took you back there a little bit.
Yeah.
Your relationship with the world of jazz sort of flip-flops in and out, I think, a little bit. Although you're ever present. It's taken you the best part of 25 years to come up with your quote unquote debut album. Crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. I think, like a lot of musicians, you sort of feel it's kind of a combination of not feeling like I'm quite ready, but then also not wanting to commit to a final statement of like how it should sound. And what I guess I realise is that it's important to record it, otherwise it can get lost.
Yeah.
You know, even though music's always in the ether, once it's been played, it's still around us. But to actually have a recording so people can listen to it, I think that's probably kind of part of being a musician. So it took me a while to get my head around it, I guess.
We'll get into a couple of cuts from the album. I know that I've been playing some stuff, and Jez Nelson on something else, and Ruth Fisher here on the Night Times at the weekend. We love a bit of Nicky Yo. So it's great news when I found out your album was coming out, and a great chance to celebrate some new music. But you've chosen to do it completely solo, piano, no band involved here.
Yeah, just... I mean, I've had my band for ages, and I would definitely want to record them as well. But I thought, start with solo, and then the next album can be with more instruments, and then who knows?
Like, yeah,
maybe everybody in the world singing on the next one.
And it's called Solo Gemini, and of course you are a Gemini. We are now in Gemini, aren't we?
Indeed.
This coming Monday we're going to have an exclusive session from you on the performance series, which you kindly recorded at Jazz FM, and a couple of pieces, both in fact, from your new album, and a little reference to Bob Dylan in one of them, because you both share the same birthday. And happy birthday for a while back. When was it? May the 24th.
It was on May 24th. Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
you share your birthday with great jazz musicians, including Charles Erland and Archie Shepp.
That's amazing. I met Archie Shepp actually at the Jazz Cafe years ago. What a great character he is too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a man of his own spirit and creativity for sure. Away from recording music and playing, you're actually a music director of a Theatre Royal show, Etienne Sisters, is that right?
Yeah, that was way back in October, November last year, and that was really great sort of experience, just to play music in a different environment for a different kind of audience with actors as well. And so I'm branching out into that world.
A familiar name popped up there, Anoushka Lucas. She was a winner. When we first did Love Supreme Festival, she was the singer-songwriter who was the audience choice as a sort of newcomer, if you like, to be added to the bill. And she's got something about her. She was involved there. Tell us a bit more about Etienne Sisters.
Yeah, she's a very, very cool singer-songwriter, and also another songwriter on that particular project, also Sheila Atim, who's a great up-and-coming musician as well. And also she's a great actor at the Royal Shakespeare Company. Working with those guys was great, because we'd have the score, and but I'd kind of put my vibe on it by making kind of working out the chords and playing them like as if they were jazz standards. For me to do a run of shows as a jazz musician, I wanted to be able to slightly change it a little bit every night, so it kind of felt a bit more like jazz as opposed to all everything scored out. And Anoushka was very open to that, and so was Shay Walker, the director. So what I learned with theatre is very much that it's a creative process. You know, you have some weeks to get that together, and then it gets solidified pretty much, you know, 95%, but there's still room for improvisation. And luckily they both love jazz, so
yeah,
and managed to add that element to it too.
You're a bit of a trailblazer, it has to be said, for British jazz. You were early on in Courtney Pine's band, and I think you kind of set the way for other great pianists. Also, actually, funnily enough, Zoe Rahman is releasing a solo piano album, just like yourself, and Nicky Iles. Do you feel, how can I say, do you feel like you've transcended from sort of student of music to teacher and someone who has to act like a role model for these younger musicians? How does it work in your mind?
Well, that's a massive compliment. I mean, no, I don't feel like I've, of course, like one realises that as you're getting older that you are a role model, whether that be a good one or a bad one, just by the nature of being older than a bunch of other people that are coming up. But I still feel very much like a student. You know, and I think, you know, my sort of heroes like Wayne Shorter and Herbie and people like that, they very much also feel like students. And I think once you stop learning and you stop searching, if you think you've arrived, you've kind of lost the message, really. So I'm always searching.
Yeah, I remember Donald Byrd constantly learnt, even right to his, you know, final days and stuff. So it's really important to just keep learning and keep learning about the music. But do you find it very satisfying now in your career to be able to give to younger musicians?
Absolutely.
You know, and sort of what do you like to impart to them?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I've always taught, you know, sort of, it's not ever been sort of a thing for me, like a backup plan. It's always been like hand in hand, because it comes very naturally to me, like the way piano, playing the piano comes very naturally, and composing, it's sort of a gift as such. So when I'm working with young musicians, that I frequently do, I'm a director of jazz at Camden Saturday Music Centre, and have been for almost 20 years. When I'm working with those kids, and I learn a lot from them too. I've got some brilliant musicians coming through. Had some brilliant musicians like the Sam Best, who was Amy Winehouse's MD, and Pete Fraser, who ends up playing with the Pogues, and like Jack Stevens, another great bass player, plays with Simply Red. You know, for me to see that progression of people that I've worked with. You know, not, I say taught, but it's like we work together because I'm learning too, and to see how they've developed into wonderful young people and wonderful young musicians, you realise that responsibility that everybody that you meet could potentially be like, you know, if you don't have any influence on them, if you sort of ignore them and don't let them join your class or something, you know, like lots of people have auditions for class. I'm just like, everybody come and play. And if you know, you could be stunting somebody's growth. So it's an opportunity to give back to the community, and also just to enhance music in the UK.
We're going to play a piece from the album now. It's a storytelling album from your perspective. Dance of the Two Small Bears. What's the story there?
I wrote this tune when I was about 19. So I remember I was on tour with Courtney in Poland, and I remember going to this really weird, like top of a coliseum where they would sell like secondhand stuff on a Sunday morning. It was freezing. There'd be people with like no socks and selling like really random things. And there was this big stuffed bear that they were selling, and I remember it was just as you do, poor thing. But I remember then thinking about two bears dancing. So there's a little story to it. Would you like to hear the story, Chris?
Yeah, let's have it. Let's have the story. Yeah.
Are you sitting comfortably?
I'm sitting comfortably.
Well, then I will begin. Okay, so there's a man bear and a woman bear in a forest. The man bear sees the woman bear and he wants to dance with her. So he goes over to her to ask her to dance, but then he realises he can't because he's a bear and bears don't talk. So he starts to dance, which in bear language means, would you like to dance? And she gets up and she starts to dance with him, which in bear language means yes. Anyway, he's a really small bear and she's really quite tall, quite a big bear. And he's cool with that. He loves that. He thinks she's beautiful. And her dance steps are a lot heavier than his. So you're hearing the music, the little bear dancing and then the big bear dancing. And then he's a gentleman, so he changes his dance steps to fit with hers. And then they both fall in love. And the rest is improvised, quite like love, relationships, dances.
from Solo Gemini, new solo piano album from Nicky Yo, Dance of the Two Small Bears. You heard the story before that. If you didn't, you'll have to catch up at jazzfm.com. I'm Chris Phillips here. It's The Blueprint. Nicky is with me here at Jazz FM, and we're going to hear an exclusive session version of that on the performance series on Monday on Jazz FM from 6 o'clock. Actually, speaking of performance, you're going to be at the Vortex on June the 19th, launching the album, which comes out on June the 10th. Looking forward to that?
I can't wait. I've got some special little surprises for the audience.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep those stumming.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the Vortex, Ollie basically had an elongated bucket collection to pay for that wonderful piano in there. It's like the prize at the centre of the club. So you get to play on that. That's on June the 19th. That's not to be missed. And that is all solo piano.
Solo piano.
Like the album.
It falls in the Gemini season as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful video of you actually jumping up on stage with the great Chick Corea down at the Barbican. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? It looks like you kind of bombed the stage and just said, "Move over, chick."
Move over, darling. It was brilliant, actually. A mate of mine always buys two tickets to go to. He loves jazz, and my mate Ian, he's great guy. He always buys two tickets to go to a lot of gigs, and sometimes he'll call up random friends and say, "I want to go and check out this gig." And I was around, you know, I'd done a gig in Italy the day before. So I was really happy that I could make the gig. And he always gets great seats. He's sitting down the front. Brilliant. And then Chick asked, the audience, is there anybody that would like to play?
Really?
Yes.
That's risky.
Properly risky. And then this dude who was at the front jumped up. And I was a bit like, oh, man, I've missed my chance to play. But I've kind of had this feeling that he might ask again, even though I thought, what's the likelihood of him asking again? Does anyone else want to join in? You're only really going to do that once in a gig. So I started taking off my bangles, you know.
You're getting serious now. Jewelry's coming off.
Yeah, it's like a Jill Scott video or something,
yeah,
you know.
Taking off my rings.
Yeah.
Give me some Vaseline.
That's it, yeah. You know that tune.
I know the one.
Yeah. So I take off my bangles, gave them to Ian. I was like, hold that, hold my phone. I'm gone, because he asked again who's coming. I raised my hand like a lunatic saying, me, which I hadn't done since I was kind of at school, you know, that one pick me primary school vibes. And I was really shaking and worried, like, oh my gosh, Chick Corea, like, what are the chords to Spain again? Is he going to call Spain? And then I just jumped up, and then it felt like bliss, because, you know, I love Chick Corea. I mean, he's just one of my heroes. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh my God moment. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Find this video. It is absolutely superb. You sort of sit to the right of him, and then you go run around the back, and you go on the lower keys, and he looks completely blown away at the end of it, like, what just happened?
Oh, bless.
I once saw one of my friends, R&B singer, her name escapes me, do that to SWV once and blew them off the stage. But that's quite something to do that. I mean, tributes to greats. One of the themes I find with talking to British jazz musicians is Hermeto Pascual comes up an awful lot. And for you, there's a particular kind of musical relationship there. I mean, if the album I played earlier on by Cleveland Watkiss, Mutual Serenade, you've done that again on this new album, right? And
sure.
This is a tribute to Hermeto. You got to hang with him a little bit.
Yeah, I got to hang with him a bit. I first met him in Wien Jazz Festival, Wien, I think it was Reggae Sunsplash, with some mates of mine from Holland called Fra Fra Sound. I was out there hanging out when I was about 17, 18. And then he used to come over to England quite a bit, and because the whole of Hermeto's band are just so warm and lovely. They haven't got that kind of jazz musician in inverted commas kind of thing where they're vibing you out, like, show me what you got, you got to be on it. It's not that sort of, even though there's a place for that, you know, I know why certain cats do that, because then you're under pressure and sometimes that makes great music. But Hermeto's band were so all embracing, especially at a time when, you know, I was one of the few women on the scene, and so sometimes you go up and approach musicians and they'll kind of think you may be hitting on them. It's like, no, I'm just here for the harmony and the rhythm, like, musical, that's it. But they were all just like, you know, father kind of figures, jazz Brazilian father figures, and just welcoming. So Hermeto was the same, and just he was like showing me chords, even though his English isn't great. I speak Italian and a bit of Spanish, so we can kind of understand each other. And he showed me how to voice different chords, you know, he's got little hands like me, so it's like he gets like a big sound without, he doesn't compromise his expression. So that was great. And then sometimes we'd just jam with, he would play cavalcino and I would play piano. And yeah, what a great guy, what a generous guy.
Generous of spirit and everything else.
Absolutely.
Vula, that was her name. It blew away SWV, I just remembered. Vula, how could I forget Vula?
She's wicked. Yeah. Love her. Yeah, she's great.
Wow. I mean, lovely to have you here, Nikki, and a wonderful solo piano album. And Monday, the performance series, don't miss those exclusive live session cuts. And then get yourself down to the Vortex June 19 to see Nikki play that that piano there at the centre of the club, launching the album Solo Gemini, which comes out on June 10. Nikki, great to see you.
Thanks so much, Chris. Love Jazz FM.
Thank you. And let's play the title cut of the new album.
Cheers.
Join me, Jazz Nelson, on Sunday nights on Jazz FM at 10 for something else. 3 hours of vintage music, new and old. From the straight ahead to the frankly quite weird. After midnight, we go to the far side, an hour journey from the ambient to the avant-garde. That's something else with me, Jazz Nelson, back on Jazz FM, Sunday nights at 10.